We're rolling. Welcome to Highway Diary. This is episode 239, and this week I'm ranked on iTunes podcast. I'm probably the very bottom of the rankings, but we're ranked. So with me, Franco Danger.
What's up?
Franco, second time on podcast, good buddy of mine. Every time I see him, it's like, I love this guy.
It's all love, man.
But in the middle of November, I became furious with Franco Danger. And I've said this publicly on this podcast that he ruined the New Jersey comedy scene. Now, that sounds like a bold statement, a mean statement. But what I mean by that is Franco on his Facebook 2 years ago posted a video that going, look, let's just play that clip.
What's up, guys? Okay, so No Joke November starts today for me. It's Monday. If you don't know what No Joke November is, I put a challenge up on Facebook a little while ago, and it's just challenging me and my comedy buddies to hit open mics with absolutely no written material, just try to riff off the top of your head. And I'm hoping this will just, I mean, at least for me, it'll work on the skill of like thinking on your feet and crowd working and just riffing off of stupid shit and being able to trust yourself a lot more when you hit the stage, because that is a really, really important thing when you're doing stand-up. Because if you start second-guessing yourself on stage, everybody can see that shit. But anyway, that's not important. So today's day one for me. I'm hitting Q's Mic, also known as the Scarlet Pub in New Brunswick. And then I'm going to rush over to 10th Street and hopefully do a late-night set over there. Yeah, and I won't even be able to talk about the same thing twice. I'll have to just make some shit up when I... Hopefully by the end of the month, this will be cake. Hopefully by the end of the month, like, at least I'll level up a little bit in skill, you know? If you guys are doing the challenge, any of you dudes or ladies, that was the non-gender-specific dudes... like to say, dudettes, whatever you want. If anybody's, you know, if anyone's doing that shit, yo, write in the comments, let me know if you're doing it. I know a few people said that they were down for that shit. I think I'm gonna stream it day one. You guys are gonna see me bomb. But, fuck it, bro, that's part of comedy. There's a lot more bombing than there is killing. At least where I'm at. I'll be doing it 2 years in December. December 9th. I remember that shit. Like it was my baby. Like it's my child. But, alright. I'm rambling. But, yeah, yo, I'm streaming live. And good luck to everyone else who's doing it, yo. There's no real reward at the end. Except for just being a better you on stage. That's it. You know? It's kind of like when fit people are like, push-up challenge, or like squat challenge, and the only thing is that you get another inch on your ass, or like another inch minus in your abs. So this is that, the comedian No Joke November challenge. You get an extra inch of crowd work at the end of it. Alright, yeah, this video is way too long. Alright, bye.
So, you know, what was your thought behind No Joke November when you first did it 2 years
ago? Alright, so when I first did it, the thing was, I was getting tired of my material, and I was terrified of crowd work, and I knew I had the ability to think on my feet and to, like, you know, to riff, because I was doing improv.
Right.
And I was just too scared of it when I was doing it on stage by myself doing stand-up. So then, I was like, you know what, fuck it, let's just go up, and the scariest thing for a comic is to not have any material.
Right,
at least starting out. So I was like, you know what, let me just face the fear, and then let me work on riffing and crowd work and shit like that, and being able to trust myself. And I learned a lot from it, yeah. You know? You learn how to trust yourself on stage. You learn if anything goes wrong, you could still... I mean, again, I'm just saying trusting yourself again, but if anything goes wrong, you know that you have the ability to bring it around and make it funny again.
Right.
You know? And then also writing on stage is really helpful. You know? If you just riff... and you have people in front of you, You're right. Like, oh, I got to make this funny, and somehow...
Right. And then it's like with your improv skills, because I come from an improv background, too. Like, I trained at the UCB, and so it's like, if this is true, then what? If, you know, yes, and.
Yeah, yeah.
This is true, then what? This is true. And just, like, pull at the threads of information that you're leaking. The problem is, Franco, is that you're so... I don't think you realize that you have disciples. I'm honest with you here. That you have disciples, because when you started coming around the Stress Factory, and when you start coming around, you know, places like Chamber 43, and you come around, you're so good at stand-up, and I mean this genuinely. You're hilarious, and so you start to get little disciples within the New Jersey comedy scene that worship you and want to take your method. Then I start going around to clubs and mics and all this and that, and three comics in a row are going, oh, well, I'm observing No Joke November, No Joke November, so this is my set. Boy, what else? And I'm like, cocksucker, you didn't have jokes in October.
Yeah.
What are you doing No Joke November for? What's, like, how about work hard ever at your fucking act?
Oh, God.
And then I call you, and I'm like, what did you do? Yeah. What did you do? Do you believe me when I say you have disciples?
No, I don't. I maybe, like, people that think I'm funny, and then, you know, oh, Franco's cool, and then, you know. Disciples, definitely not. I don't think so.
Why are people doing No Joke November?
I just, like, think because it's a fun idea, I guess. I don't know. I guess some people are just also trying to face the fear. But here's something that's going to piss you off. This year was this past year was the most anyone's ever followed it. Is that, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
It's like, I never had more people. For 2 years in a row, I did it practically by myself.
Right.
This year, fucking everybody did it.
Well, also, you know, comedians are like lazy people. Yeah. They're weird degenerates with no discipline, you know, and... Like, instead of doing their homework in school, they wanted to be the class clown or fuck off or whatever. And my whole position is, like, you know, maybe you didn't do your homework before. Maybe you fucked off your whole life. When it comes to stand-up, do your fucking homework.
Yeah.
Stand in front of the audience and know what you're going to say. Now, you're a different case because it's like you probably have, like, 45 minutes, an hour of material. So then you're like, when you already have that in the bag, then it's like you can go to that in like a pull the parachute case of emergency.
Yeah.
But when people have like almost 4 minutes of material and then they do No Joke November.
Yeah.
To me, I just want to stab every... It's like I would just do my set and then three people in a row would go, I'm doing No Joke November and bomb and be like, I'm leaving now. There's no point of staying here when nobody's trying. It's like, how about... This might... What about New Joke November?
Yeah.
See,
I think I'm just going to do it in secret next year.
New Joke November.
This is what I think is piss you off, because this is the most people that have done it, and I didn't do like almost any of it of November because I got sick. So I almost didn't.
Right, you didn't do that much stand-up.
I did four or five mics.
Yeah.
The rest of them were shows.
Yeah.
So I had to do material.
Right, right.
So I hardly even did No Joke November myself. Because I got sick for 2 weeks. I couldn't go out because I was coughing like crazy.
Right, and then you set out a virus.
Yeah.
When you got sick, there was a virus of mediocrity.
And this is the longest stretch I've gone right now without doing stand-up.
Yeah, so what's going on? You're taking a little backseat right now?
I don't know. It sucks that kind of... Like, all right, so I got this new job, and then things are picking... I'm trying to focus more on getting Jester, like, finally legit and on the ground so we can actually open up for real.
Jester,
yeah, yeah. But it's just been that. I just haven't been able to hit mics. So it's been a long time since I...
Right, and you're...
Super long.
And you got...
I'm rusty
kids,
now.
You know, yeah. You got a lady, she's got kids.
Yeah,
you know? Well,
I'm trying to find some place to move in.
Remind the people what Jester is.
Oh, Jester is our comedy company. So we have the Content House in New Brunswick. So it's going to be, I'm trying to do so much with it. We're going to be doing sketch shit there. We're going to do improv shows there. We're going to do stand-up shows there. We're going to be teaching classes. We're going to rent out a writer's room. We're going to have... I just got, actually, a couple things in the mail to record. So I can... We can actually have a place where we can record podcasts for people, help people out. I'm trying to get software for editing. So even if you do your podcast on your own, you can come through us. We can help edit your podcast, send it back to you, and make sure everything's clean.
Kind of like an All Things Comedy Network. Yeah. Type of... Oh, interesting.
We're like there's a point... there's also, like, a goal of mine is to hopefully have, like, people come in, like as a whole Jersey scene, have Jester be, like, a place where we can fucking write at least 20 pilots a year and just try to pitch them out as, like, a community. Mm. All of us get together, keep on throwing pitches. So eventually one of them's got to hit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if we're all doing it together and we're all working together and we all have the same home base and we're, like, all trying to outdo each other and... It's just going to be a fucking... It's going to be Gold's Gym. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah. I like it.
Everyone's just trying to fucking outbench each other.
Yeah.
That's what I want it to be, you know?
So you got a space, a venue picked out?
No, it's there. We've had it rent out. We've been fucking paying rent for since April. And we just have... The town is super fucking slow. Mm. Well, we send them stuff, and then they go, oh, this is wrong, and they send it back, and then we're like... What do you mean it's wrong? And they're like, you need to go to this department. We go to that department. And they're like, no, you can't go to us. You have to go to this place first.
Right.
They're just making us run in circles.
But you're not wearing your earthquake helmet. Yeah. Do you have fire retardant in the building?
Yeah, it's...
Where are the sewer lines?
It's so fucking insane, dude. Yeah. We had to hire an architect. An architect sent plans in and shit. And the town comes back to us and they're like, you gotta let us know what walls you're breaking down. And we're like, we're not breaking down any walls. What are you talking about? So they're like, you gotta reset the whole thing. And I'm like, what the fuck? Can we talk to the architect and blah, blah, blah. It's a pain in the ass, man.
Man.
But, yeah, hopefully soon. I'm hoping by the end of next
month. Sounds like a production company and like a school type of thing.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, everything, man. I'm trying to do everything.
I got some pilots. We could talk more about my involvement in that project off air, but
yeah, sure.
I want to so Franco, you have disciples and they listen to you very carefully, yeah, you know, I went to school for screenwriting, you know, and like, you know, a lot of the people would show up, like, just I guess what I want to say is, like, in school for screenwriting, you could either do the bare minimum, like every time you resubmitted your script, it had to be 15 pages longer than last time. Mm-hmm. A semester's 3 months. You're only going to present once a month. So at the end of a semester, maybe you would have a 45-page script when a screenplay is supposed to be 90 pages. Mm-hmm. So you could literally get your master in screenwriting and not have written a script. I got a call one time from a guy who's going to be a doctor of film from Drexel. He called me when I was in Los Angeles, and he goes, because I, you know, whatever. I don't even know where he found me, but he gives me a phone call, and he's like, I'm going to be a doctor of film from Drexel. I've never made a film. He was almost like, what's it like to make a movie, or how did you do it? And I'm like, you're a doctor!
What the fuck?
You know? It's like, that's a useless person.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm a doctor of dance. Can you do the splits? Whoa, no. I could talk to you about it. That's crazy. So it is weird where it's like procrastination or paralysis by analysis. Mm-hmm. Like you can get a high-level degree in, I don't know. So it's like you can do the bare minimum or you can do extra. And so you got I'm always like, let me do extra, man.
Yeah.
Let me do extra homework. Because I was like, I'm not trying to be good in this class. I'm trying to be world class.
Yeah.
So like, how, if I'm gonna train like I'm gonna be a world class writer, I'm not gonna train like I'm gonna get an A here.
Yeah.
I'm gonna train way past that. Mm-hmm. Because like comedy is like the hardest possible profession to get into. So,
I think so, yeah.
If you don't have like a Gold's Gym where it's like, no, this is hard. This is work. This is accountability. This is, you know, it's also tough because it's like an innate skill that you have or don't. And then plus discipline.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
That's true. It's like, yeah, it's, yeah. No, yeah, you're absolutely right. But I do want to say it. I want to say it here. I want to say it clearly on this podcast. Only do No Joke November if you're working on something specifically. Not if you're starting out.
How about just New Joke November? It's new jokes.
You could
write
new
jokes.
New Joke November. Like, if that's your thing, if you're like, oh, I've been working on the same jokes forever, No Joke November could be New Joke November for you.
Because you pitched it to me, because I called you up furious, and you pitched it to me, oh, well, you know, so I would go into my material. Instead of doing my old material, I would talk about my uncle at the barbecue and this and that. I'm like, so you're telling me you're going in with the game plan,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's like, you're already way ahead. It's like when I'm staring at people going, boy, it's No Joke November. Boy, I've really put myself in a pickle here. How about you have written one fucking thing on a fucking notepad before also, you torture me with your nonsense?
Also, as shitty as that is, that's also part of it. That was me a lot in the beginning. The first year, that was me a lot of like, oh, I don't know. I don't know what to say. I don't know. Until like you get comfortable in the I don't know. And then once you get comfortable with that, not knowing, you're like, oh, I can literally say whatever. Because in the beginning, you start thinking, I don't know what to say. And then once that's over, you realize you can say anything and then make that something.
Right.
And I know it doesn't sound like that different, but like when you're on stage, it makes a huge difference.
Mm.
It's like it's going from I have nothing to mold to literally have so much mold I can do whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah, it's like a potter's wheel. Like, you know... you know, if you're throwing out all these pots that are already pre-planned and then just someone throws a pile of mud on the mm-hmm. thing, that wheel's spinning. Mm-hmm. The time is clicking on your thing. So what are you going to do with that pile of dirt? Yeah. Do you know how to do your craft or not?
Yeah, you going to make a bowl? make a vase. Yeah. You know?
Or are you just going to take a big shit in front of everybody? I don't know. I just find, like, I would get mad when the comics would do it where it was like... You know, they were already struggling
mm-hmm.
on a regular, and then they're throwing to not prepare. It's not No Preparation November. It's like, you know, I don't know. Challenge yourself to do a little crowd work, but then go back to what you've already prepared that's new stuff. I don't think that's mm-hmm. bad. That's mm-hmm. a good exercise. But when it's like, yeah.
It's also like, I mean, I pride myself in the beginning that I definitely had a ton of self-awareness.
Yeah.
So when I was doing that, I would even notice myself within the first minute. I'm going, no, I'm fucking up because I am not only admitting defeat in my own head, because I'm not trying.
Yeah.
And when you start being like, oh, this is bullshit, and you do have that mentality when you're on stage, and you're not trying to be funny, if you're not trying to work anything out, then it's gonna waste everyone's time.
Mm-hmm.
You're sitting there. You're beating yourself up in your head while you're saying nothing, and then we're all watching you do it.
Right.
That's shitty. But, like, once you get that out of your mind, you're like, fuck that. Let me just talk to somebody. Let me try to make something out of this. That's a whole different thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're sitting there and trying No Joke November, and you're standing on stage, and you're embracing the, well, you know, I'm not doing any jokes, so, you know. No joke doesn't mean don't be funny. It means I don't have anything pre-written. Right. It means I could still make something.
See, okay, but you could... Pre-written is different than premises. You should have at least three premises, like Uncle at the Barbecue, this story about, petting zoo.
I wouldn't have anything.
I'm telling you to pretend that... Yeah, but so that it's not so awful for Uncle Eric to go around to the mics, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm also, you know, I shot a special. Uh-huh. I would like to think of myself as having a little bit more experience than the average open micer. So then it's like, when I'm listening to new people struggle, it's like, boof. It's harder for me to, like, deal with it. Because it's like, because I also taught improv classes, you know, uh-huh. and so if, like, I was in an improv class and I was, like, the teacher of that and, like, something like that started to happen, I'd go, okay, stop, okay, let's talk about this real quick. But I also understand that it is a part of the stand-up process to, like, feel the pain
mm-hmm.
or to feel the struggle. Like, you put the pressure on yourself mm-hmm. so that to squeeze yourself like a tube of toothpaste to mm-hmm. see if you shit or if you spit something good.
Yeah.
But I get that. But, yeah. And, like, you know, I try new material that bombs all the time. That's, like, a routine part of the process. Yeah. So it's, like, I think that is the process. Like, trying new jokes when they bomb 15 times in a row, you get rid of them. That is the process already.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I was like, I don't know. I'm just questioning the... You know, I always like to do my material, but then if I get heckled in a certain way, or if a waitress drops a cup that explodes, you have to talk about that because it was loud as fuck, and like, you know, so yeah. You have to have these disturbances built in.
You have to be in the room.
Yeah. And like, listen, because if someone's heckling you and trying to ruin the show, you have to ruin that person. Yeah. You just do.
Yeah.
Like, ruin them, their life, forever.
You have to get the room back.
Yeah. And like, no, you're not going to take the room from me. This is my shit.
Yeah.
These are my skills. But, anyway. Whenever you give a comic permission to be lazy, they're gonna be really fucking lazy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm kind of upset that I wasn't there to watch everyone do the no-joke shit. Because then I would have been able to be like, hey, listen, I saw what you did there. Mm. Don't admit defeat. Don't let that...
Right,
so
right.
Next time, they'd be like, okay.
So we can
all kind of learn from each other.
Right.
But that's another thing I noticed. Like, when I came up, I was learning from everybody, like even the people that were like,
you were asking more questions. You think
I definitely was, but I was also like, you know, let's say me and you started at the same time, right?
Right.
I would watch you go up and I'd see something that you did, and in my head I'm like, oh man, he shouldn't have done that.
Right.
But now I go up and I won't do that same thing.
Right.
You know, or and vice versa. Like, and also when I'd get off, I'd have friends that go, whoo, that was shit, dude. That was ass. Like, don't, like, that. And they'd tell me what was wrong, and I'd tell them what was wrong and shit like that.
Mm.
I feel like that doesn't happen as much anymore.
Yeah, I feel like there's more of, like, a live and let live. Like, well, they're just doing their thing. And it's like, no, sometimes art is wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, it's wrong to tape a banana to a canvas.
Yeah.
Like, my art, like, I went to the New School for undergrad, and if you tape... My art teacher, if you taped a fucking banana to a canvas and showed up to class, she would fail you and say, you didn't even try, you lazy cunt.
Yeah.
You need somebody like that in your corner to go, no, this is wrong.
Yeah.
She would say, I don't care what you paint, but there's not one speck of white on your fucking canvas. You got to fill that bitch up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you just have a blue circle and the rest is white, you're telling everybody how lazy you are.
Yeah.
And I was like, I love this bitch.
That's
you know
cool.
what I mean? She was a badass. So I just, like, there's the thing of, like, show the effort first before you show any weakness, for sure. Like, you go up, you have jokes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Also, I did the roast of Richard Dweck.
Oh, how was that?
It was fucking great, but
yeah.
A lot of the other comics called me out, because we had a group chat for it on Facebook, where everyone who was in the roast of Richard Dweck was on this group chat, and I go, listen, people, because I just went through No Joke November, this was in December, and I go, listen, people, prepare for this shit. If I see one person going, what else, I'm going to throw a can of cream corn at your fucking head. And then two or three comics were like, and where's Eric Hollerbach? Fuck you. I didn't prepare and blah, blah, blah. And then I went up with my prepared material. And
give it up for Eric Hollerbach. Yeah. Hello, everybody at Brighton Bar. I'm going to make fun of some people now. Burn some bridges. Matt Nascimento is here. I've never seen a whiter man with a Japanese name. I want him to kamikaze his Hyundai Sonata off the Garden State Parkway. Jack Steiger was supposed to be here. I'm so mad he's not. Jack Steiger is an occultist. He's an occult person. Do you know this, Jack Steiger? Unfortunately for him, the only spell he's been able to master is conjuring jealousy that his brother makes money and he doesn't. So that's a weird... Jack Steiger always makes fun of Mags, and he always makes fun of Joe McAndrew, except when he's actually in the room, then he doesn't. And I've called several psychologists about this, and clinically, Jack Steiger is a spineless cunt. I'm just saying that's what the diagnosis was. But several psychologists, Dylan Tremboli and Victoria Scaplin, are here. Wow. I think they should make love, you know? If they lived in a library and were forced to breed, and made a child in that library, their kid would be illiterate. Okay. If Dylan Tremboli and Victoria Scapley were locked in a library for a month, they would not make one Richard Dweck joke that made sense. I think we proved that today. This evening isn't about all these inbred hack open micer pieces of garbage. It's about Richard Dweck. Give me a hand for Richard Dweck. Richard Dweck has been in community college for 6 years for an associate's degree. He hasn't earned it. I looked it up. If he's there for 5 more semesters, legally, we all have to call him Dr. Mongoloid Idiot. Richard Dweck wears Velcro shoes because he hasn't had time to learn how to tie them. He's been too busy gaining weight, playing video games, and getting bull-dyke haircuts. God, his haircut is awful. He looks like a professional wrestler, juggalo, feminist, lesbian. I don't know. He just tells the barber that's what he wants. And now he has a side ponytail. A side ponytail. He's a lot lizard, basically. He's a wealthy lot lizard. So the truckers have something to hold on to. Richard Dweck, he's an autistic, bipolar, schizophrenic retard, right? Right? But I feel like he's my bipolar, schizophrenic, stupid, piece of garbage, Velcro shoe retard. And I hope he's yours as well. I love him very much. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, worship aliens.
Then prepare. I'm like, I'm not telling prepare for anybody except the show.
Yeah.
I want you guys to have jokes. And then they would shout me out. And it's like Mark Henry shouted me out hard out when he was on stage. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? And it's like, how about you show up blackout drunk to George Street again, you piece of garbage? You know what I mean? How about you prepare like that? True story. Anyway. I'm not just starting beefs for no reason. Uh-huh. Look, we're here. We're getting Chinese
Speaking
food.
Of beef.
We're getting Szechuan beef. Tell me about it. So the last time you were on my podcast, I just throw mad shade and then that's... last time you were on my podcast, you sung the praises of Szechuan Kitchen.
Yeah.
You also had hacks for the menu. So can you bring me through some of the menu hacks that you...
I don't remember any hacks.
You just said get the large because you still get the rice.
Oh, yeah. You get the large General Tso's chicken.
Tso's, okay.
Right? Because that shit comes with the white rice on the side. So
why not get the combo platter?
Because if you get combo, right, you get less chicken and the rice is in the container with you. You don't want that, right?
Right.
Sometimes it depends on who's working, right? One lady would be like, okay, I got you. Fill the large container and then get the white rice on the side in a separate container, then you got enough chicken for like what another meal,
right?
You know
right.
What I mean? So that's good. But if it's the other lady working, then
she's
like,
in big
there's,
trouble.
There's no large, it's only combos. You're like, ah, fuck, you know the secret, you know, you're cock blocking.
All right, so we're gonna go order.
That's a chicken pun, by the way.
Cock blocking. I get it. You're blocking my cock.
Yeah.
Look at why you stand in front of the coop. My cock is blocked. Anyway, let's eat some fucking chicken, I guess.
Let's do it.
All right. Can I get a large General Tso's?
Okay.
And you said the cheese wontons?
Yeah.
And I ordered cheese wontons?
Okay.
And do you want water? We could just get two waters.
Two waters.
Yeah. For here.
So this is the best Chinese in New Jersey as far as I know.
Okay. This is General Tso's. It's popular. They got this one by my house that I grew up on. I told you about this in the last podcast.
Right.
And I was like, I swear by.
Oh yeah, because you grew up around the corner from here.
No, a town over.
Okay.
There was one over there.
In Manville?
almost said Costa Rica. I almost said Costa Rica. It's southbound, bro. And, I don't know why.
Well, you got deep roots in Costa Rica. Your family's
from there. So I grew up in southbound, bro.
Yeah.
And that's the Chinese, Golden Star is around the corner from me.
Mm-hmm.
But then I had this General Tso's. And then I was like, I gotta give it to him.
Yeah, the Costa Rican General Tso's is bullshit.
Yeah.
I was raised on lies.
My mom just told me recently that they heard her small town where I go visit and all that shit. They just got a Chinese food restaurant. And I was like, whoa. I never thought about it.
Yeah.
I
guess it just takes like a couple dedicated Chinese people. Like, they can figure it out.
Yeah.
So how is it? Have you been there?
No, I haven't. I want to try it.
Do you get to Costa Rica at all?
Yeah. My mom's going Saturday.
Oh, cool.
I haven't been in a few years, but I love it out there, man.
Mm.
My family has a lot of farms out there.
All right, well.
Oh, wow. So we did a little menu hack there.
Yeah.
We both ate like kings.
We did.
So you get the large General Tso's chicken.
Large General Tso's.
And if you eat in, they give you a big old plate of rice.
Yeah. Dude, which is way more rice than you would get if you had the little fucking white container.
Right, because if it's in a to-go, it's contained by the to-go container.
Yeah. The container.
If you are in there, they give you a heap of a plate, and there's no lid on a plate.
It's boundless.
It just goes up.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Close Encounters of the Third Kind when he's building the mashed potatoes.
Okay.
You know, it's just a mound.
Yeah.
You stick your face in it.
How do you feel? Do you feel satisfied?
I feel bloated.
Yeah.
So yesterday you super hydrated?
You hydrate. You have to hydrate before you eat Chinese.
Why is that?
I just always get really thirsty after I eat Chinese.
Right.
You know what I mean? You get thirsty as fuck, bro, and you feel bloated. You drink a lot of water, and it makes you feel better about it, I guess.
Because then you can absorb the salt like a sponge.
I think so.
So your body's ready for the bloat.
I think so. I just know I don't want to be thirsty when I'm done. You know what I mean? So if you're not properly hydrated and you eat Chinese food, then you're going to be thirsty as fuck.
Right, right.
You're hydrated, though.
Right.
Only a little thirsty.
I feel, a little thirsty.
A little thirsty. You know?
I definitely feel bloated from the salt, though. That's a lot of salt.
Yeah, that's the MSG and shit.
But the fucking crispiness of the chicken in
right?
the sauce. Oh.
It's worth it, though. Oh, you know? It's like good. Something's got to give, bro.
I was eating through the pain. I'm bloated from drinking too much last night. And eating through the pain.
No, I was drinking water like a motherfucker. No. Water and horchata.
So my thing was I got bloated first.
Yeah.
And then I ate a lot.
Yeah,
right? That
good.
Makes sense.
That's not good.
Dude, my farts are going to be serious later.
Bro, and this is how you know it was going to be some good chicken. There's kids doing homework.
Yeah.
You know the Chinese food is going to be good when there's a kid doing homework in the corner,
yeah.
bro. It's Sunday, bro. They're doing homework
I
already.
Know.
By the way, I was looking at the one kid. He was staring at you.
Oh, yeah?
Mid story. Like, he stopped playing with the basketball. And he stared at you. And then I forgot exactly what you were saying. You were saying something about, we're talking about dirty jokes.
Oh, yeah.
And then you said some dirty shit. And I look over. He's staring at you, staring at the
talking
back
about
of your head.
Caitlyn Jenner getting fucked by black guys.
Yeah. And he's just fucking mouth agape, as they say.
Yeah.
Just staring at you. That's fucking great. One of those kids learned something today.
Bro. Yeah, yeah. It's crazy the culture of Chinese people. They work so fucking hard that it's like, there's no babysitter, there's no what. No, mom's making the rice, uh-huh. Pop's working the fryer.
Yeah.
You know, the uncle's on the cashier. Then he runs in the back if they need more fucking fried wontons. It's like, yo, it's all hands on deck. So what house? What fucking babysitter? No, you're sitting here in the, you know,
on
that's
a Sunday,
it.
Bro.
Every
just
day.
An iPad. The craziest part is that I looked at what the girl was doing on the iPad, right?
Yeah.
Took a glimpse. She was reading something, bro.
What?
Isn't that crazy? You're a kid with an iPad and you choose to read.
Instead of play games?
Yeah.
She wasn't playing like, you know, Boom Beach or like Clash of Clans or nothing like that?
Nothing. And then the little boy came through with a flat-ass basketball, tried to bounce that a couple times. Did you hear that when he was bouncing that?
Yeah.
No air in that basketball, bro.
No.
That's how you learn how to dribble.
Well, you gotta wish you had friends, too, because you're just stuck, you know, you're stuck here.
That's so crazy, bro. I can't imagine growing up at a Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even call those a Chinese restaurant.
And they're all skinny, too. It's like, dude, if I worked here for a week and a half, I would be 700 pounds.
Do you think they have... Because MSG, what the fuck is that? I know that's like...
Monosodium glutamate. It's like a super salt.
So
it's like super salt.
Taste
it makes like, yeah, like they developed it actually when they fought World War II. So Colonel Sand... So literally in World War II, the Japanese fighters were given MREs, which is ready to eat meals. Like they were given food rations as a soldier, and they would try to eat, and they're like, this is bullshit. I'm not eating this, because they're all raised with like good fish, good whatever.
Yeah.
But they developed this compound called MSG, which they would put in the rations of the Japanese soldiers' food, and it would make anything taste good. Then, when the Americans went to go fight over there, somehow they discovered their rations. Somehow they discovered MSG in these big... It's like a white powder in these big barrels. And they're like, what's this? They put it on fried chicken. They're like, what the fuck? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And then that's how KFC came about.
Holy shit. No way.
Yeah.
So KFC has it?
Yeah, yeah. Doritos has it.
Really?
Why are Doritos so good? MSG. Mm-hmm.
So what does it taste like on its own? Like, if you were to take a spoonful of MSG.
Oh, probably not good. Like, just, like, salt, I guess. But, yeah. Like, it's, like, finer. It's, like, confectionery salt with, like, that's a fine-ass mom.
Yeah. You see a lot of those in Mount Brook. A lot of them.
Yeah.
Most of them single, unfortunately.
Right.
Or fortunately. Depends on what
you're looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah, high school is a great place to get pregnant in Mount Brook.
It happened a lot, dude. I think Bound Brook and Manville had rivalries in basketballs and pregnancy.
Team pregnancy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like, yeah, it's crazy.
A lot of baby daddies dribbling basketballs.
Yeah, sorry.
You know, they're like, oh, wow, he's going to get a college scholarship. He'll probably be in the NBA. Let me sling my puss on him and see what happens.
Made it to the NBA, but he left the baby here.
Yeah. Sorry, bitch. I'm going to Charlotte. See ya. I'm playing minor leagues in Germany. Fuck you.
Yeah, dude. MSG,
yeah, but,
man.
So we were talking also while we were eating about just like squatting up, man. It's like we got a class of comics in Jersey.
We gotta
squat up. We gotta support each other. We gotta
teamwork, bro.
Book each other when we come up. It's like, you know, these are our friends, these are our homies, this is our squad, and we can't disrespect them or like you know.
Also, like, it's super important to have the self-awareness.
Yeah,
because you could be a great hang, and if you're worried because you're like, oh, I'm not getting booked on all my friends' shows, reevaluate. You could be a great hang, but, like, maybe you're not the best choice for a show.
Right.
And, like, and if it turns out that, yeah, you do bomb a lot, fucking, because you're boys, be like, yo, where am I going wrong?
Yeah, yeah. And hey, it's good to have those uncomfortable conversations. Like, your friends are not your friends to kiss your ass all the time. Your real friends are there to be like, listen, if you do that joke one more time, like, it's bombed every time, so it's holding you back. Or you might have one killer joke that's so good that you do it every time you get up, and the good joke is holding you back because you're using it like a pair of crutches. Like, okay, let me just get this laugh with this joke, and then let me put the crutches back in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you're handicapping yourself because you're not writing.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting addicted to killing. Dude, that is so the problem with so many local scenes where they get, you know, they stop writing because they want to. And it's also the big problem with scenes is when their squad is so tight. If your squad's three people, that's not good. Your squad should be 12 people, 20 people.
Know. That's a lot.
And then mix it around. But I'm saying when you book a show, your roster that you're picking from should be 20 and not 3.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then the shows, every time you go to the show, it's a new show. It's not the same show.
Yeah.
If 3 people aren't writing and they have the same show at the same place all the time, I could cough some names. If you do that, it's a big problem.
Yeah.
You need to swap out and get new blood in those shows.
Yeah.
Even no maybe two people, but definitely not three. Like, if there's five people in the show, it can't be the same three every time. That's over half the show.
Yeah. That's very true.
So, I don't know. But,
also, like, the relationship I have with my friend Khalif, is also a comic. Fucking hilarious. Also has a great podcast. Check him out. Anyway.
What is it?
It's called, Ignant Negus. It's on Spotify. By far one of my favorite podcasts. It's not just because I'm like boys with them. It's like fucking really insightful. But he'll do it in the car, just like this. After a show, bring a comic in. It's like really cool.
Yeah.
So one thing I learned, not only like was he would give me like feedback on jokes, is also you need friends. Like, for example, if I pitch you a joke right now and you're like, I don't think it's gonna be funny. Now, it's up to me to defend my ideas,
right,
my thoughts. And it's like, okay, that helps so much with what your voice might be. Mm. Because if you go, no, I think this is funny. No, I believe in this. And then I'm going to write it out. And then I'm going to try it on stage. And then it's going to kill, despite what this other person says.
Right, right.
Because it's like, I believe in it. And now I can find like my angle and the way... You know, but defending a joke is—it's like not a skill, but it's like really important because it's like, yeah, you need to know what you believe in when it comes to the funny.
Well, show. Also, like you could say the premise, and it's like it's how it's in my head. I have these like dance moves, or I have these ways I get the setup out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I can't show you that unless I'm like have a microphone and I'm doing it, right? You know what I mean?
True.
It's almost like you could pitch somebody a movie, but it's like until they see the movie, it's like, oh, now I get it. Well, it's like, yeah now it's done, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like trying to explain to someone what you're going to do as a break dancer.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this and do this. Oh, you're going to stand on your head? You're going to break your neck. No, but if I spin the right... Man, I got it. Let me show you this shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's important too, man. It's important to figure... Yeah. To be in your own corner and defending your own shit and knowing how to do your own dance moves.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's good.
But yeah, it should never, also work hard, man. That's what my big lesson, work hard, write new jokes in November. And,
I got a lot of catching up to do, bro. The first mic I did in December, I did half and half.
Yeah. Yeah.
Half off the top of my head and half of written shit. Cause I was like, fuck, I missed out so much in November. Mm-hmm.
I also got this chunk of new jokes. Like, I did a special, and now I got this chunk of new jokes, and I only have, like, 7 new minutes past my what I've already recorded, and, like, 3 of it's, like, great. So now even my new stuff, it's like I'm relying, like, a crutch on my 3 instead of working on the 4 that's not working, because it's like I do want to kill. I want every show to be great, but, you know. Dude, I tell myself all the time, like, I gotta work on this. You know, it's a daily struggle, you know? But that's what it is, man.
I'm still fucking... You know what? I'm terrified of bombing still.
Yeah, dude.
I get so much anxiety, like, oh, my God. And that's... I think that's one of the main reasons why I didn't... Why I did No Joke also. Because I would rely too much on the material.
Yeah. Yeah.
But...
Because, like, you know, it's like work hard and take risks, but then it's like, yeah, the reality is, like, bombing feels so terrible. And no matter how much in your own head you go, no, I am working on stuff, and it is real, like, bombing's part of it. Like, every time it happens, it's like, fuck! Like, you know?
Alright, so this is...
I took the hard road, and it did bomb, and fuck me.
It's not... When you say, I have disciples, every part of my body's like, stop it. No, I don't. No, I don't, right? Until I go up and bomb, I know when I bomb, the next time I fucking bomb, I'm going to go, oh, fuck, I have disciples, and they're all disappointed in me. They all see me bomb, and it's like, it's never going to apply in a positive way. I'm so bad at taking a compliment.
Yeah.
That's just how a lot of us are. Do you...
Yeah, you know, where it's like, if someone I don't know is like good set and they say it to me like super nice, I always just say, oh, thanks, man. Thanks a lot. But in my head, it's like, I'm only thinking about the mistakes.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
Like, they're like, oh, nice job. I'm like, yeah, but it's like, I tricked you because I only made you laugh because that was an old joke.
Yeah.
So I'm a hack, actually.
It's a trick.
I tricked you with a hack joke because I'm a piece of shit. Like, that's what happened. Well, good set. I'm like, yeah, well, I tricked you because I'm garbage.
yeah. I lied to you.
I think you have to have that, like if you win gold at the Olympics, you can't be like, I'm the shit.
Yeah.
You got to be like, oh, man, I was a tenth of a second away from the world ever record.
Yeah.
Fuck me.
Yeah.
I'm a piece of garbage. You know?
I could have done better.
If you don't have that, like, you're never going to get to the Olympics in the first place.
No, not at all.
You have to be such a fucking weirdo, like, so obsessive.
Yeah.
Dude, can you, like, swimming? Like, every day swimming? Oh, my God.
You can't even listen to podcasts.
It's like, yeah, you can't play. Like, if you're playing water polo, it's like there's other people, there's action, yeah. You got to score a goal. It's like, okay, now swim 100 yards as fast as possible.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Do it again.
You know what we're doing for training today? We're swimming.
That's crazy, dude. Yeah, there's not much variety in swimming, dude.
But it's like the best athletes. The best, like,
yeah, you have to be
cardio athletes in the world.
Because you have to hold your breath while you're doing cardio.
Right?
The whole point is to breathe fucking hard when you're doing cardio.
And it's also, like, stand-up is the hardest thing. So, like, it's, like, even harder than swimming. It's, like, stand-up, like, the going for it to success ratio is so low. So, it's, like, if you're not training hard, if you're not working hard, like, forget doing it. Because it's, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It does, like, confuse me, because there's some people that, like, I go, like, what do you want to do with this? And, like, I think you and me want to make a living, but other people, it's like, I'm just having fun. It's like, really? You're just, this is fun? This is, you know, that always, like, it's like, no, this is a pathway to a career. Like, we're apprentice carpenters, and eventually we're going to make a living to do all this work. Because it's like, you know, I put many years of my life into trying to be funny, and it's like, if I don't eventually make a living, it's like the whole thing was a huge waste of resources.
Yeah, dude.
All the times I paid for parking, all the times I paid for entrance fee to open mics.
I keep my receipts, bro.
I got to buy two drinks. I got to do this. It's a lot of money. You know, so it's like, if this doesn't, there's not a ladder I'm climbing. Like, what the hell am I doing with my life?
For real.
My parents are right. I should have quit comedy a long time ago.
Oh, my God.
You know? Fuck.
Yeah, that's why. That's, Jester is also a fucking, not even a plan B. It's like a safety net.
Yeah.
In case stand-up doesn't go well, at least I can still stay in comedy.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can teach classes. You can live as an artist and teach writing. Cool, bud.
Yeah.
Well, this has been episode 239 with Franco Danger, one of my best buddies in the comedy scene. He's a big sweetie, and he's one of the funniest guys out there. So,
thank you, man. And you know what? I've been thinking about this, because I've been really negative, and then one day a positive thought floated in. And I was like, you know what? And I feel like this could be a good way to wrap it up.
Mm.
That, you know, as hard as we want to be on ourselves, if someone wants to go back and ask, or, like, just to figure out what happened or what was going on in the comedy scene in New Jersey in 2020, they have to say our names. We're part of something.
Yeah, we are a part of something.
You know, whether we hate ourselves or not.
We're
part of a
scene, a community. A scene,
you know?
Yeah.
So that's cool. It's a good thought, you know?
Yeah. There's a window of time where this is the gang.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That could be in the cool, like, you know, like a Goodfellas movie. They look back in time, you know, like, you know, 2020. What's going on there? Yeah.
Well, you got to watch out for Franco Danger and his Instagram pussy joke. I'm telling you, that was... You want to follow that. Good fucking luck, man.
Thanks, man.
All right, later, cocksuckers.
See ya.
Oh, wait, do you have any other plugs?
Smoke weed, worship aliens.
Oh, hey, that's my shit.
Oh, what
the fuck? You steal my shit. Oh, I'm going to host... The Verve with Danny Braff in February. Oh,
hell yeah.
I'm the MC, the house MC. I don't know what day in February, but maybe the 12th of February or something like that. So check that out. I think that's my next big book show coming up.
Okay, where? Who's headlining?
I don't know.
All right, edit out that question.
Yeah, I don't know. So I'm the host in February's Verve show. That's all I know for sure.
Oh, can I say something really quick?
Yeah.
fucking cracked me up so much. You know how I told you we have that competitive thing, me and my friends and stuff like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah.
I do Danny's show, and he gives me a 5-minute spot. And we're backstage. He goes, Franco, I'm going to have you go before me because I don't want you to follow me because, you know, it's there's a lot of people here that know me, and I'm going to do really well. I don't want you following me. And I was like, excuse me? You know what? You think you're going to kill so hard? I was like, all right, Danny, bring it. Fucking bring it, Danny. He goes up. He eats it. I go up, and I hardly eat it better. Like, I just eat it just a little bit better than Danny does. And we both get off stage like, oh, fuck. This all this competitive shit for nothing, bro.
Yeah, scrambler for the bottom.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because then it's like, why do you... I don't know. To me, that's more pressure. It's like, I just... Thinking about the jokes, that's enough space in my head, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I do... I don't get jealous when other people perform better. I think I get, like, jazzed. It's like...
Oh, I get so hyped.
I want to ride this wave.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let me keep riding the wave. I don't want to disrupt the wave. I want to keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what's in my head.
I did a private gig in Scranton with Kate Nichols and Elazar. He put me on it. I opened after not being... this is right after November was over. So I didn't do any comedy for the whole month.
Yeah.
Because I was super sick. First gig. I had to do 25 minutes and open up. The host wasn't even a comedian. It was just a funny lady in the town, mm-hmm. you know? I go up, I'm having such a hard time. My rhythm isn't the same. I'm not used to the steps. So everything is kind of fucking up. And I get off and I just feel like shit. People laughed, but I didn't like it. I felt gross, right? Yeah. And I was like, I fucking bombed, dude. This was gross. Elazar gave me the light early because he saw that I was struggling. I couldn't find any of my jokes on my phone because I organized everything. And I was like, what the fuck, dude? I get off, I feel like shit. Kate goes on stage. And starts killing, does the crowd work, fucking everyone starts loving her. And dude, when I see one of my best friends on there fucking killing it, it made my whole night better.
Yeah.
I just forgot about my bomb because like, the crowd forgot about my bomb. She's rocking it, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes, you know, it feels good to be that cool with your homies and be like, yo, this motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah.
They're on my side.
Yeah.
You know, they're not an enemy.
Yeah, yeah.
That feels great, man.
It is good when you, like, or if you have a good show and then you see the fellow, man, I had the show at the Old Glory. Shout out to Walter Maldonado, but I had a good show at the Old Glory last time I did it. And I was looking up and I saw a row of our squad, like, laughing at my shit. That made me feel so good because I had, like, these new jokes that I was, like, cultivating. To, like, I was getting up to snuff for that show. And so I'm like, They know my material and I'm doing totally different material and it's working great and it felt so good to watch our friends laugh at my stuff, man. Dude, there was nothing better.
There's nothing lonelier than killing and noticing none of your friends are watching.
Yeah, yeah. They all went out for a cigarette and you're like, fuck, man. Only this crowd knows, but none of my fucking homies know.
It's like that scene in every movie when the kids, there's always that kindergarten play or something. And then dad's not there. They're looking for dad in the crowd. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, right.
Like the girl's ballet recital, and then she looks in the crowd, and there's only mom, and then there's no one in the dad's seat.
Right.
That's
right.
What it feels like it's sometimes. Like,
oh, he didn't see us?
He wasn't here for me.
But I did the backflip, though.
Yeah.
But, it's weird. It's like, man, I just crushed in front of this crowd. Big fucking deal. That doesn't mean as much to me as my fucking peers, you know?
So weird. Oh, God.
The fucking games. Because it's like, when you go on stage, it's like all your dreams are on the line, like, every time you do it, you know? It's like being a fighter, where it's like, I can't imagine. The worst feeling ever has to be, like, a world title fight, ready? It's like, I'm a great fighter, right? My family's all there, like, everyone's there. It's like, go, knock out.
Yeah.
It's like, your uncle's like, I could have done that, you know what I mean? Like what was all that training about?
But
that's what it's like when you bomb stand up. It's like, you know, if your family's in the crowd and you're fucking bombing, it's like,
I've never done.
Somebody
well
shoot me in the head under the building tomorrow. Yeah. Like, the pain is like outrageous.
Yeah, dude. By the way, just as a way of saying how good this place is.
Yeah, yeah.
So while we've been here, I've seen two people from high school.
Oh, word?
Walking it out, yeah.
I mean, this is getting a lot of traffic. So, the Szechuan Kitchen Chinese restaurant in Bound Brook. Their phone number, if you want to order, is 732-560-1286.
Hell yeah.
So,
And if you're looking to travel, there's Kimbonbo Express, no E, travel agency, multi-service. Yeah.
Is it the same
number? Same phone number.
Same phone number. The one phone rings in the back. You want a 64? Oh, you go to Colombia. How do travel agencies stay alive in the age of hotels.com?
It's click, all click, a click. Scam, dude.
Click, click, click. I mean, where do you want to go? Here's Orbitz.com shows you 70 different travel websites what the best price is.
Dude, it's all a front, bro. I'm telling you.
It's like for fucking 80-year-old people that want to, like...
Oh, I think that... You know? Yeah. I can't use the machine. How do you... Oh, my God.
Can somebody come over? Somebody said something about Netflix, but I can't find the Netflix VHS.
I type in Netflix, and I only see one thing. What's the username?
Does anyone want a sandwich? All right. We're closing this shit out. Thanks to my guest, Franco Danger.
Thank you, man.
Later.
You know, I'm trying to date. It's hard to date. So I realized my favorite kind of girl is crazy girls. That's my favorite kind of girl. Crazy girls, you know? So I'm just trying. I'm just putting my net out there. I got on a anti-Semitic dating app. It's called J-Hate. Now, You ever have a girl with a swastika tattoo on her face give you a blowjob? It's like that hatred like goes through your body and it feels excellent. Like a Nazi commitment. She showed up right on time and just went after it.